Tonight we're going to start to take a look at the Malach of Beirer. The Malach of Beirer, both in practical for practical reasons and theoretical reasons, is one of the most difficult Malachas on Shabbos. Most Malachas I can avoid if I want. If I'll decide, listen, I'm afraid of Bishul, I'm not saying it's the way to go, that's it. I'm eating challah and pastrami on Shabbos, and that's it, finished. You know, it's not the way to go, the famous Balamor, that we were supposed to have chaman, to be mafkiya from the tztukim. Fine, but lemais, I won't be a machala Shabbos. So I can avoid Bishul, I can avoid most of the malachas on Shabbos. Burr, as we'll see, is a malacha that's unavoidable. However, I'll twist and turn. Basically, it's going to be impossible to avoid burr. As we'll see, burr is so comprehensive. Burr means selecting the desirable from the undesirable, or the undesirable from the desirable, but selecting. The problem is the definition of undesirable floats. If it were an objective definition, then I could avoid burr. You know, something which is objectively good wouldn't be subject to burr. So if I had two types of food and they were mixed together, look, there's nothing undesirable here. So then I wouldn't violate burr. But undesirable is flexible. And what I don't want now, even if it's to me, it's the most favorite thing in the world, but right now I don't want it. That's undesirable. And therefore, what is a burr issue? We'll go through what the burr issue is. So me, I love steak. Nothing like compares to steak. Everything else. But right now, in this moment, I'm interested in a piece of potato, not in steak. But a steak is undesirable. And an hour from now, the steak will be the most desirable thing in the world again. But right now, what I'm interested in is a piece of potato. The steak is now undesirable. So this is why Beirer is unavoidable. Because it's not only with the objective undesirable, and not only the subjective undesirable, but I'm a vegetarian, I don't like meat. Not only that, I love it. And it's my favorite thing in the world. But at this moment, I want something else. So it's the ultimate. So ultimate degree of subjectivity. So that's the problem. That's why burr is unavoidable.
So, according to that definition, if the animal, like my wife, doesn't like the mushrooms, so she gives them to me.
Oh,
desirable to her. I like.
Oh, that's so fine. That would be fine. That could be. You happen to have touched something very important. In other words, listen. There's meat with mushrooms. I don't like mushrooms. But Sam loves mushrooms. So I'll take a spoon and I'll take all the mushrooms out from the meat and I'll put them in Sam's plate, and as fast as I put them there, Sam wolfs them down. That's what he lives for, mushrooms that will cook with meat. The meat is Michael, but the mushrooms is what he wants. So that's fine. Then that's also Eichel. The desire doesn't have to be for me. If I'm taking it for you and you want it, that's also desirable. You're right. You're absolutely right. Now, we do have to understand something about burr. And there are three general rules of burr, as we'll see. But this is the Jewish religion. And by that I mean that everything has a Torah Shebaal Peh to it. Nothing is superficial and nothing is simple. Now, there are under three conditions, burr becomes permissible on Shabbos. But each of those conditions, as I said, has a whole Torah Shebaal Peh to what it means. Nothing is as simple as it seems. Right? The three we can summarize in five words. I can summarize everything about Malachas Beirer that you need to know. That you have to do it Miyad, Biyad, and Oichel from Seibus. In five words. Miyad, Biyad, and Oichel Bitoch Psalms. Five words, we got it all. Meaning to say that which I take, I have to take for immediate use. I have to take it with my hand and not with utensils. And I have to take the desirable and leave behind the undesirable. Those are the three conditions. Now, each one is going to have a big pulpul to it. What does immediate mean? Immediate is a very flexible word. You know, if you're sitting in the classroom and the Rebbe says, come here immediately, that means you better be there in 10 seconds. If somebody calls you from Australia and says, come immediately, it's a different parish to what immediately means. So it's a very flexible word. And that's part of the problem that we have in general, that the type of notation, the type of categorization used by Chazal was descriptive, not mathematical. We don't use in our world really descriptive classifications or categorization. Even if it's a description, but behind the description there's a whole handbook of what it means. And as an exact mathematical, yeah, we can have small, medium, and large, yeah. But small has a definition. It's from 4 to 7 inches is the small, from 7 to 10 is the medium, from 10 to 13 is the large. It's defined. We don't just leave it up to random. Listen, my large will be your medium. It's not, you know, the world had, there are parameters. And we tend to spend a lot of time in our society. In fact, there are standards. The government makes standards for all types of things for that reason. So the term has a precise definition. Now, that is what's one of the very difficult things about the study of halacha, is we have all types of terminologies, big, little, small, immediate. What exactly they mean, in what context, that you have to be a beguin to figure that out. Not so simple to know. All three of these categories are subject to interpretation. But the shaila is something else. What is there about these three conditions that make something mutter? You know, two of the conditions I certainly can fulfill as shofar was most of the things I would like to do on Shabbos. I came in, it's dark in this room, so I'll put on the lights. I'm going to sit down to learn immediately, not in an hour. And I'll put it on the yad. It's going to become mutter. I'm hungry, so I'll put a steak onto the frying pan with my hand, and I'll eat it right away when it's finished. It'll become mutter. So what does burr become mutter with these conditions? What's the seichel? How could such a thing be? You know, these... So what we need to understand is, in general, in halacha categorization, practicalities do not dictate. You know, something may be very difficult, but that doesn't, to live without, but that doesn't make it mutter. You know, it may be very difficult to live Shabbos if all my food is raw. I don't have any cooked food, and I don't have anyone to go to get cooked food. It may be very difficult, but it doesn't make anything mutter. It's not, you know, we don't have dispensations in the halacha. So our reasons have to connect to a theoretical framework of why something is mutter, not just, well, you know, the non-Jews I deal with, this is the one that they have the hardest time with. They can't understand that the rabbi can't get a dispensation for them. They just, you know, they can't figure it out. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that we have to understand what bayir is, and then if we'll understand what bayir is, then we'll understand what's mutter on Shabbos and why it's mutter. Gemara uses an expression that if I take, let's say, the undesirable from the desirable, or it's not for immediate use, whatever. Gemara has an expression in the sugya, nasa kemishabur la'itza. It's as if I selected to put it away in the warehouse. It means a lot of times when you prepare, let's say I threshed the grain already, and now I'm preparing to put it away. So I separate the grain and the stones, so that later when I come to use it, it'll be more user friendly. I won't have stones in it anymore, and earth from the ground. But what am I doing with it? Am I eating it, or it's la'itzer? I'm putting it away. It's part of the industrial, the agricultural processing. It's not a la'itzer. I separate it for what reason? Not to eat it, to put it into storage. So 3 months from now, when I need it, it'll be waiting for me. That's on one side. So all the bearer is usher because it's not eating. It's preparing for some later use. We'll see what that later use. The later use may not be so later, but it's still preparing for something which is later. And that's what I'm not allowed to do. That's bearer. What's mutter on Shabbos is not bur. Bur is never mutter. What's mutter on Shabbos is eating. Eating is mutter on Shabbos. What these three conditions do, that if it's for immediate use, and I take the oichel, and I'm not using commercial instruments, but rather, at the table when you eat, you don't have a sieve. You take a fork and you eat. So all the three conditions define what's considered eating. I'm eating them. The third didn't ban eating on Shabbos. That's a good question. I'm not getting ahead of myself. Is the fork bayad or not? Good question.
Because they got the purple one. It's an Israeli salad. And I can't put my hand in there to get the salad out. And I can't touch the gefilte fish to separate it from the carrot.
We'll have to see. Well, that's a good question. That's why I told you each one has a Torah Shabbat Peh. What's biyad? Is a fork biyad? If I use the pot of the soup, the cover of the soup pot, I don't like the vegetables. I just want this, the broth. So it's not a spaghetti sieve. It wasn't made to do burr. But nevertheless, I'm getting burr done. I open the pot a crack and I pour out the broth and I restrain all the vegetables. Is that a kli or not a kli? For all purposes. And we won't be able to be such strict constructionists, as we'll soon see, on oichel mitoch psalas, and taking the desirable from the undesirable. If we would be strict constructionists in that regard, we would come to a rather amazing halacha. And that halacha is that, let's say I have an egg. I have a hard-boiled egg. I don't want to eat it on Shabbos. So now what do? The only way in is through the shell. Well, the shell is decidedly inedible. So I can't exactly start with the oichel. I'm starting with the psoilus. So where do we go now? If I need oichel with the psoilus, so do we wish to articulate a halacha? Well, I can't eat oranges on Shabbos because I have to peel them. I can't eat bananas. I can't eat tree nuts. And so where am I? And I can't eat an egg. It's a new Torah. So no. So let's go step by step. So we said the basic parameter. We have one case that I'm eating. That's simple enough. There are pieces of pear and pieces of peach mixed together. I want a piece of pear. I take a hold of that piece of pear. I pick it up and I pop it into my mouth. So I did it biyad. Miyad, I ate it immediately. It was oichel b'dav. So it's glorious. It's mutter. Right? If I had one piece of peach in the middle of 20 pieces of pear, and I don't like peaches. Now, it's a lot easier in life to take the one piece out than take the 20 pieces out. So I would rather just pop the one piece out. And right after that, I'll eat the 20 pieces of pear, which is my heart's desire. May I do so or not? So it's interesting that there is a sheet on Sfarad HaShacharonim which consider this, that this was mutter. That since the eating is going to take place imminently, it is just, you know, as I'm about to start eating, I'm ridding myself of the psoilus so that I can eat the oichel unobstructed. So he considered that this suffices. That's enough. Right. And there are some smuchim I wanted to reshain him for, but the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal says that we don't pasken like this. At the end of the day, I still took oichel, rather psoilus from oichel. Right? I had something that I didn't want. I had bones mixed together with meat, and I took away the bones. And then the next second, I ate the meat. But sof kol sof, could we describe the taking away of the bones as an achila? It's not. If I took the meat, that's an achila. You know, meat, you pick up what you want to eat and you eat it. But picking up the bones can never directly be an achila. It could only be a preparation for an achila. So that case remains awesome. Now let's consider a case which is right at the nexus between the mutter and the osa. Now that's sometimes the genius of the halacha, not only in deciding such cases, sometimes in formulating such cases too. You know, sometimes, I sort of Soloveitchik Zatzal said, that the Gemara sometimes uses theoretical constructs which are remote that they would ever happen. And the purpose that the Gemara uses for them is not to explore halacha really in that case, but rather to identify with clarity the underlying principles which are best illustrated in some far-out type of case. So therefore it created a far-out situation, not because it was really concerned that was going to happen, but it illustrated the halachic principle by bringing out the theory behind the halacha in a very crystal clear fashion. And that's sometimes, in fact, the benefit of new technologies. Because new technologies create types of situations which were unfathomable in earlier technologies. So now you really start sorting out between the different parts, which are now separated, halachically, which is the operating factor. Now, when we had in the situation of the Gemara, they both overlapped, so you could not ask yourself which was the principal factor. Right? We had that, for example, with Ashayla with the Blech. Ashayla with the Blech. That which is the Iker? The Iker is the fire, or the Iker is the control knob? Now, in the Gemara, you could not have such a clear expression of that difference because it was one and the same. The fire itself was where the action was. It's only because we're not using solid fuels that we have a different technology, and in our technology, it's a relevant issue. So sometimes new technologies create new possibilities which allow us to bring greater focus in the halacha. To understand, that Chazal understood the underlying principle, but for us to grasp the underlying principle, we're presented with a broader range of possibilities. So now we have a case, it's not only that it's theoretical, it's very lemaisa, but it's exactly at the nexus. Is the case of our egg case. So how do we look at it? On one hand, listen, that would be a way to eat. That's true. It's typically the way you eat. Anything with a shell, item number one is to get rid of the shell. So, but on the other hand, I'm actually taking psoilus from ochel. So was that considered achila? At the end of the day, I took the shell off. I didn't take a piece of egg. So this is a case which is right at the nexus. So here we have a principle that Chazal articulated, Shainim, that is derech achila b'kach. That's the normal way that you eat. So because it's the normal way that you eat, taking off the shell, it's itself considered part of the eating, not part of the preparation. Now if we look at it judiciously, it comes up really, it's a principle really in Meleches Dosh. But it's really, I realize, relevant here too. There are different types of peels or coverings, shells, etc., on fruits and vegetables. Sometimes there are coverings which we remove long before we ever consume it. That's one of the very interesting things. If you ever walk on Abingdon Road has some type of trees on there with some type of nut or acorns. I don't know exactly what it is. But you'll see nuts there, tree nuts, in a way that you never see them in the market. I've subsequently seen them like in farmers markets or some type of, you know, those type of markets in such fashion. But a tree nut, where you see the hard shell, but around the hard shell is a softer, greener shell when it grows, oftentimes. Now that softer shell, in the processing, they eliminate it. It's useless. So they get rid of that shell. And they leave just the hard shell that we have. And on Abingdon Road, I saw it many times. Falls off the tree and has this mushy green stuff around the outside, and then inside is a hard brown nut, whatever that nut is, I don't know. So the outer one is typically removed as part of just harvest, the harvest. The inner one you don't remove. For what reason? Well, you know, listen, you have an egg and you keep it around, it lasts quite a while. Crack the shell open and see how long it lasts. Then all of a sudden the air invades, the bacteria invade, everything goes downhill very rapidly. You leave a nut uncracked, it's good for the long haul. Crack it open, and in 2 days, 3 days, you'll throw it out. So all of these things in reality we tend to keep until the zman of the achila. It's in the achila process that we remove them. Yeah, in today's world we apt for certain types of convenience, you know, we peel things before, but we don't have to struggle with the problems that we create. Now that I peeled it, how do I keep it from spoiling? So I have to vacuum pack it, I have to freeze it. Now we have to step in and take over for nature. But the normal way to do it is to keep that shell around that until the time of the achila. Then in the achila process, then I remove it. So this too is construed as what we call derech achila. It's the fashion in which I eat it. Because it's the fashion in which I eat, therefore it's mutter to do. So, but then already we no longer have absolutely oichel from psoilus. Now I have a case of psoilus from oichel. I took the desirable, the undesirable away from the desirable. And voila, it's mutter anyhow. So as I said, everything here has Torah Shabbal Peh. Now, this principle of derech achila has many, many manifestations to it. Many manifestations to it. For example, let's say I take a piece of whitefish. I like whitefish. Now, whitefish, so inevitably we're going to tangle with burr. There's a nice amount of fish, but there's also a nice amount of bones. So the world says that that's why our forefathers created gefilte fish. I don't know, but that's what they say. As I zukt. You know? I don't know, as I say, I'll leave it to Shlei online to figure out where they, you know, what country and what time they invented it. I don't know. Well, as I zukt the Welt. The Welt says that that's why they created gefilte fish, to get rid of the bones so there's no burr issues. But type. Now, that's fine. So normally, if I eat whitefish, so I have to take the flesh and leave the bones behind. That's what happens if I have, sometimes you have very fine bones, little tiny bones, and they're not really subject to taking the flesh of the fish away from them. They're too small. If you take the flesh, they'll come along. All you can do is grab a hold of the bone and pull it out. But you're not really in a situation to take the flesh from the bone. The bones are too fine. So now where do I go from here? Is it mutter or not? So Sam votes that it's also.
Take the bones out of your mouth.
But sometimes you're a little bit even afraid to do that too because they're so fine.
Okay.
So Rav Moshe Paskin, that those bones you're allowed to take out, that's considered derech achila, to remove them by hand, these very, very fine bones.
Okay.
Now, we have other situations which parallel this. It's not the only situation that we have. We have a situation, for example, of a watermelon. So a watermelon is very simple. You know, the seeds, most people don't find objectionable. So typically the way the person eats watermelon, he takes a bite, and at the end of the eating, one spits out the seeds. And that works well. I mean, the seeds are a pleasant experience, whatever. They're coated, I guess, with the juice of the watermelon, whatever. There's nothing harsh about them. They slide out nicely. It's comfortable. Well done. The Rebbeinu Shlom did a good job. You know, but the problem is when we come to honeydews and cantaloupes, so then what do? So the seeds are there are not so pleasant to take into the mouth. So what's the din? So now I peel the cantaloupe, and it's a pretty fresh cantaloupe, so the seeds are a little bit of hair still to the inner edges of the flesh. They didn't break loose yet. So what do? On Shabbos. Well, if you can take some of the flesh with the seeds, but sometimes after you do that, you're not going to have a decent portion left. You know, just after you make a snip under it, even if we accept that as a good heter, the Chazal Ish didn't accept that as a good heter before, but even if we take the Chofetz Chaim's position that it's a good heter, but it may not be practically a very good heter. You know, if you don't have a very large melon that's very thick, by the time you make that little snip, you may not have too much left. So what do? So here Moshe took the following stint. That lichatchilo, meaning, what I mean lichatchilo, means personally, subjectively, if you could bear it, so then you should take it into the seeds, into your mouth, and spit them out like watermelon seeds. But if you find that too objectionable, then he gave a heter to take a knife and scrape them off, and that's also together derech achilo. So here we have, you know, there are objective definitions, but it's still a certain amount. There are two possibilities, and subjectively we can decide between the two definitions of what the derech achilo b'kach is in this particular case. So here's our first principle of Eichel Mitoch Psoilus is now morphed. It's morphed into Derech Achila. And sometimes the Derech Achila dictates that I can remove the Psoilus from the Eichel, and that's also fun. But this is the process of Torah Shabbat Peh. Through the Oimek of Chazal illuminates the issues that we have to deal with. The non-Jewish world, they can read the Bible, but that's where it ends. They're clueless in anything more than the superficial meaning. Now, I may have mentioned to you, I had occasion this past spring to eat one Friday night with two Mormon priests. What had happened is not important. I had to do it for a reason. And so these guys are religious. These are real religious people. You know, this is not the superficial religion of the East in the United States. This is the real, deeply religious people. So they were curious about the Bible and understanding the Bible. So I asked our host to bring me a Macross Gedolus. Then I opened up a page in the Macross Gedolus. When I showed him in the upper right-hand corner, there's a few lines of text. And after that, the rest of this page and the whole facing page is all text, is all inter-commentary. He said, this is the most typical copy of the Bible that we use. And it has, you know, a small amount of text and so much interpretation. I said, and this is only one of many works that we have. They can't relate to the Chumash in a meaningful fashion, because they don't have the oimek, the depth that comes from the Torah Shabbat Peh. So now we've defined a little bit what Eichel from Psoilus is and how that is morphed into Derech Achila. Okay. Now, we do need to look a little bit at what's considered Biyad. What is Biyad? Biyad is a simple meaning. You take my hand and eat with it. That's fine. do. So let's say I want to eat green peas on Shabbos, and the right now they're in liquid, or there's arbus on the table with the liquid from which they came from the can, and I want to take out arbus. I'll put in the spoon. I'm not going to strain it, but I want to take out arbus. I'll take a fork and take out arbus. Is it permissible or not? Or is this considered a kli? Now, we have a lot of, let's try to start the story from the beginning. Fundamentally, we have two different types of kelim, two different types of utensils. We have utensils which are created, that's the raison d'etre, is to do boira, to separate things, strainers, sieves, etc. That's what they were made for, exactly to accomplish this purpose. And now we have many things that we adapt to the situation, even though they weren't made for that. You know, I have a jar and it has solids and liquids in it, and I want the liquids, I don't want the solids. So what do? I open up the jar, cover a crack, and I hold it in place, and I pour. And the solids are stuck, and the liquids come out nicely. So I'm not using anything which was designated for butter. I use a pot cover in the same fashion. So a fork also was not designated for butter, but I'm doing burr with it. So what's the scoop? How do we decide what the din is? So basically, let's start off. If I use kelim, which were intended for burr, so then I violate an isa d'oraisa. And that really makes no difference if I took the psoilus from the unusable from the usable, or the usable from the unusable, it makes no difference. If I didn't do it b'yad, I'm chayv chatas. It's chilul shabbos. Now, what happens if I use, for immediate use, but I use a utensil which wasn't designed for burr? It's a pot cover, a jar lid, etc. So, the halacha is that it's also a drabbanon, and it's not also a deraisa. It's not the derech malacha bekach, that's not the normal way to do the malacha, so it remains a drabbanon. That's assuming, I presume, that you're taking the eichel from the psailas, so you're going to use it miyat, so at least that still remains. No. So a fork is certainly not going to be the deraisadika form of a kli. But it may be the rabbinic form of a kli. So that's the shayla. A good shayla.
Shayla is that the pot covers a kli midrabanan?
Midrabanan, if it is anything which facilitates burr, even though it wasn't made for that purpose, is also midrabanan.
It's not a kli for burr.
It's a kli that's not for burr, but it facilitates burr. Now, in Hilchos Yontif, it makes a very big difference, because the kelim which are meyuchad for burr are the ones we're not allowed to use on Yontif. The kelim which are merely facilitate burr, but they're not made for burr, are usually mutter on Yontif. So this, in Hilchos Yontif, there's a very stark difference between the mutter and the osser follows this line. In the Shabbos, it's the difference between a deraisa and a derabbanan, which unfortunately, I don't know, maybe fortunately or unfortunately, doesn't resonate so clearly to us what that means.
The fork in the harvest was okay,
though. Well, we didn't get you. I didn't talk about the fork in the harvest yet. I only put the question on the floor.
It was your case.
5 yards offside, Sam. Now, so Rav Moshe Zatzal put forth two notions. He said there are times that it's mutter to use the fork and times that it's also to use a fork. He said, when is it mutter to use a fork? He says, if the reason that I can do this with my hand, but I don't want to do it with my hand. Why don't I do it? I don't want to do it with my hand. My wife might not appreciate it if I put my hand into the green peas and take out a fistful and left the rest of them behind. It wouldn't sell too well. So it's not a good idea. Maybe, you know, I'm the aesthetic type, you know. You know, it's not for me. You know, Eugene Gluck, Shabigazan told me once in Satmar, he comes from Satmar, he's an Ashkenazi Shayid, and he's not a chassid, but he went to the Rebbe's Tish. The Divrei Yoel in Satmar. So he was, you know, an Eibelender. So the Rebbe saw him. So the Rebbe said, he joked, he said, he's the chafayna, you know, so give him the shemayim with a spoon, you know, that's not fair, you know. So that's it, we're all like that today, you know, so we can't put our hands into the food and just take it out. So it's not that the question that my hand will do a lesser job. My hand can do the burr quite well. If I actually put my hand in and I just grabbed a fistful and just let this liquid slip out through my fingers, it would work very well. But it would not be aesthetically pleasing to do so. Or sometimes it's a big can. It's on the bottom of the can. So my hand can't reach down there. So that's the reason I'm not doing it. I just want to extend the reach of my hand to do so. So if that's what I'm doing, then that's permissible. That's merely considered, that's also considered my hand. Because it's not to give me, why do I use a spaghetti strainer? Because a spaghetti strainer is the best way to strain spaghetti. You know, to start picking up a handful of spaghetti at a time by your hand is not exactly the way to ever get the job done. You know, even if you didn't mind doing such a thing, but it's inefficient. You know, you put it into a strainer, that's it, you have a whole pot in a minute that's strained. You're ready to go, to move on. So those are his definitions of when a fork is mutter. If, however, the fork facilitates the burr, in other words, let's say I'm using it for something where it wouldn't be where it makes it a lot easier to do because I'm using the fork. So then I would not be allowed to use the fork. Then it would be considered like the pot cover that I'm facilitating the burr with it.
Can the Rav elaborate more on that distinction? Can the Rav elaborate more on the Tzaddik class?
Example?
Rav first was saying it's efficient, so then it could be mutter, and then the Rav said it had some
cash. I say, if it makes...
If you use the fork, derech achila, so you take the harvest with the fork, so you're eating. Use the fork to strain it, so then it's...
Let's say I want to use the fork to take it and put it on my plate.
Right, so that's a normal derech achila, it's not like separating...
Yeah, well, it's not directly, it's indirect.
What?
I couldn't use a pot, I couldn't use a cover to do that.
Right.
Right, but here I could, because we're saying that it's not really an act of burr in this regard.
Right.
The same way I'm taking the oichel for use, and now if I took the ochel for use with a kli, let's say I use the kli. Let's say, for example, there's broth and vegetables, and I'll dump it through a strainer, and I think the vegetables don't interest me in the least. I just want the broth. So I took, let's assume that we'll say that when you use a strainer, it's considered taking ochel from soilus. Okay, we can debate exactly, the Chazon Ish debates exactly how to look at it, but let's assume for now, we'll consider that that's Eichel from Soilus. If you want, you can look it up in Kuf Lam and Ches and Shabbos and the Sugya of Mishmeres and be Eimer exactly, but let's assume for the moment on this tzad. So, but I took the Eichel from Soilus and I'm going to eat it Mamish Miyad, but I would be Chayv Chatas. So even though I'm going to eat it, I have to define that this is not a Kli. It's not a kli. So this is, so if it's a situation where your hand could be just as efficient, except either for aesthetic reasons or reach reasons, you don't want to do it, so that's fine. But if it's a situation where the fork really enhances your ability to do that which you would do otherwise, so then it would be awesome, you know. I would imagine, let's say, if you wanted to separate rice and liquid, it might not, but when you have finer particles, it wouldn't work so well with your hand. Yeah. Okay, any questions about that? We've done a lot. Any questions till now? Yes, yeah.
I don't understand why it's the difference if it's something like taking something out of my soup where I need to use a spoon and I couldn't use my hand, or if it's in a jar and so narrow I can't get my hand in. I don't really
understand. It's no difference. At all?
The Rav is saying that the jar is mutter because I could do it in theory with my hand.
I didn't say the jar. I just said a fork is mutter. That's what I said.
That's it. meaning a fork into that type of a jar.
But I'm taking the ochel from the psodus. If I want to take a carrot out of my plate, I can take a fork and put it into the carrot, stamp the carrot, and take it out of my plate too.
One of those examples of a mutter one was when some of my hand wouldn't fit.
Oh, one example, or aesthetically, I don't want to do it.
Right, so I don't care why my hand doesn't fit. So it's mutter because in theory I could use my hand.
I could use my hand. So all I'm doing with the fork is merely being used as an extension of my hand. It's not facilitating it any with a bearer. It's facilitating my reaching it, but it's not facilitating the bearer. You can have, Sam. Then I'll eat.
We're probably going to get to this.
Okay, Elliot.
Myself anyway. But here it is, the carrot, the raw carrot, and then normally I scrape it with a scraper to get the outside, schmutz or whatever. And, I'd be allowed to do that.
We'll get to that.
We'll
tell you something very interesting when we get to that scene. But that's, in other words, you want to know if a peeler is considered a kli for boyer or not.
Say, right, and if even a knife, it did.
How about a knife? We'll deal with both of them when we get there. But those are both very interesting. And I will tell you, if I remember, a very interesting thing, a mice with a peeler. Yeah.
Let's say you have, coleslaw, frame, whatever. Isn't it better to have a serving spoon instead of a fork?
Listen, you'll have less shyness if you have a spoon than a fork.
Because it still could be, you're not using that fork as your hand, you're not eating with that fork, that's a serving fork.
Yeah, but nevertheless, in other words, but you could take the chrein with your hand. You know, you're distraining, especially by chrein, you're not out to strain the juice out. You take what comes, you know.
But it's better to use a spoon.
Well, listen, it's fine to use a fork too, but you know, there are a lot of cases.
So you're saying I should use a fork for coleslaw, a crane as a serving fork?
If you what you have to be careful is if you decide to start using it to help you strain more than you would, then it would be easy to do biyad, then you might wind up in a situation that's awesome.
I only use spoons, I think.
Okay, listen, it makes life easier, but that's your personal choice. You know, spoons make it a lot easier.
But you say there is a problem with it.
It could potentially be a problem if you use it, you know. It depends what you use it for.
So
take a chrein out, you're not going to have a problem.
Because
by a chrein, certainly nobody's interested in getting the juice out.
And by coleslaw, they are.
By coleslaw, we'll see. There's a whole terrace about coleslaw. But then we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Well, cucumber salad.
You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
When you take are there cases we can take ourselves into Chokhah? Example, if you have...
I gave you some already.
What?
I gave you some already.
Here's another one. If you have an industrial choke, there's a lot of oil on top.
That's a different story. We'll come to that too. In other words, your question is, when you have a cholent, and let's say they make it a big pot, so they put a lot of oil and liquid on the top, can you pour up some of that oil? Okay, we'll come to that. When it's mutter and when it's not. But that's, yeah.
What about these spoons? They have the holes in them.
Okay, there's a lot of controversy. And again, sometimes they're mutter and sometimes they're usur, depending what you want to do with them. They're all good shilas. But we'll be getting ahead of ourselves if we try to deal with
it. The strainer in the sink, that should not be a problem. Maybe it is.
Oh, but the strainer in the sink. And I have a strainer in the sink. I mean, I want to keep the pipes going. So I'd like to separate out the solids and the liquid. So this I'll tell you the answer to now. This is because this right now fits in terms of the klolim of Berer. In the klolim of Berer, that psoilus from psoilus is not Berer. So since my intention is to get rid of both the solids and the liquids, I just want to get rid of them separately, psoilus from psoilus is not Berer. So that's the, yes.
You know, okay. You talk about miyad. So let's say you have a woman who's she's going to go off the shul before she wants to go to shul.
Oh, is that miyad? Okay, it's also a good child. That's why I told you miyad needs interpretation.
So she wants to set the table, but she's got to separate the silver.
Okay, so we'll talk about it. But that's, you know, these are all the shilas, the whole real shilas. All real shilas, yes.
And once we're throwing out shilas, in yeshiva they like to ask pastors how come you're allowed to take off your tie on Shabbos, and how come you're allowed to get out of bed in the morning? If they, I guess, talking about what makes it a mixture.
Okay, it's.
I missed that one. I'm not allowed to get out of bed.
Very, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, very large pieces are not considered, you know, to be burr. It's not bitarugas, yes.
In the general concept of...
No, put yourself on the table.
In the general concept of Derech Achila,
yes.
Going back to the concept, the Pasha case about an egg, is the idea is that you can't get to the Ochel without having gone through it.
Mm-hmm.
Ramosha seems to extend it almost to like a Shavu L'chol Nefesh type concept, like that this is the way that you personally...
I would say personally. Personally, I would not accept that many people do. Not, in other words, if I'm different than the whole world, the halacha is not sympathetic to that.
So it's almost like a shavu l'chol nefesh. So when somebody's eating whitefish or somebody's eating cancer.
So what's commonly done.
So how would you, doesn't that change the whole concept of derech achila from that?
Well, it good. Listen, that adds another dimension to it. That's also derech achila. Because derech achila, I have to realize, the poskim say derech achila does not mean that something's impossible to do otherwise. I could take an orange and cut it open, cut it in half, and then scoop out the orange, right? Now, the cutting in half wouldn't involve burr, because each half has psoilus and oichel, right? So I could hypothetically get around the problem. I'll cut the orange in half, and then I'll chop the knot open, and then I'll take the oichel out of the psoilus. Yet the halacha doesn't obligate me to do that. It's because, so you see already, it's not because it's impossible, but rather because this is the normal way in which people eat it and use it. So that, you know, the same, for example, let's end with this, is, you know, nowadays, far cry from our European forebears, but, you know, the skin of the chicken is one of the taboo things in this world. You know, so I mean, it's reached such proportions. I knew a cook, a Colombian cook. So when he cooked chicken, he cooked it without the skin. He wouldn't even cook it with the skin and throw it away later. Just he wouldn't even cook the chicken with the skin in the first place. So now, if I want to take off the skin to eat the chicken, what's the deal? Is that soilus from Oichal or not? So generally agreed among the Paiskim that's considered derech achila. In other words, since many, many people are makpid, they won't eat the skin. And therefore, the way that they eat is, when they start eating the chicken, they get rid of the skin. It's true, I could figure out ways to get at the chicken without actually doing burr. But that's not the normal way that you go about eating chicken. You know, you don't cut the chicken in parts and then eat from the inside out. You know, usually eating of chicken is an outside in enterprise. So that's also considered derech achil. So we've made a beginning, Rabbi Yisai. As is Hashem, we shall continue. What? Yes.
Your coat.
What was the malacha? I would presume it had to do with the processing of the...